We're going to listen to what God has to say from His Word, from His Holy Law, as we can find it in Exodus 20, after which we respond in singing Psalter 185, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And in response, I would like to read what we are to do. Not only are we to repent when we see we have sinned, but there's something that we learn about true faith. I read Lord's Day 7. What is true faith? True faith is not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold the truth, for truth all that God has revealed to us in His Word, but also an assured confidence which the Holy Ghost works by the gospel in my heart, that not only to others, but to me also, remission of sins, forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. So as we hear the law, may we respond with such faith. God defends from all foes, from sins, from the devil, from our own heart. Let us read how we are to live and respond to that as well from Hebrews 11, 23, 31, and then Psalm 66. Hebrews 11, 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroy the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essay to do, were drowned. Let us turn also to the Old Testament as we see a celebration of that time of the Exodus in Psalm 66. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doings toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as fire is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidst affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I will go into thy house with burned offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burned sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats. Selah. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Dear congregation, as we have studied together up to this point, Hebrews 11, we have met all kinds of different saints in different circumstances of our lives. And again we have heard that beautiful refrain, by faith they did this. Abram went out of Ur. Abel offered a more worthy sacrifice than Abel. By faith. All these things were by faith. And generally what we have seen is that it was about one saint at a time. But at this moment, as we continue to study the life of Moses, what we see especially is that now there is this event taking place, and it is about more people at the same time. God, in his might and in his glorious power, led his people through impossibilities and through circumstances that were beyond them. And that is the lesson. What he often still does with his people. And as we consider these well-known stories of what God does by faith and how he shows his power, especially in the Exodus this morning, may it be so that with new zeal and new heartwarming faith, we might embrace these things and see even new things through the power of his Spirit. So our text is taken from Hebrews 11, verses 27 through 29, where we see faith's deliverance, 27 through 29, we read God's word. By faith he forsook, that's still about Moses, Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroy the firstborn should touch them. And there we see the he, and then it becomes them. So there we see that God's people are involved. And then by faith, verse 29, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essay to do, were drowned. So faith's deliverance during the Exodus. First of all, we consider this powerful rescue, and then a powerful sacrifice, and then a powerful guide. Now, last week we left off to see how Moses and his parents had courageous faith. And it was about how they made that wonderful and beautiful choice to esteem the riches of God higher than the riches of this world, Egypt. And so we come and pick up our reading at verse 27, and there we see it again. We meet again Moses, and we see by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, Moses. And the first thing we need to understand, when was this? When did this happen? Some have argued, well, as we heard last week, Moses fled to Midian after he had killed this Egyptian and made this choice to belong to the people of God. Then it was that he indeed forsook Egypt. And that's possible. It's possible to read it like that. But if you have noticed, maybe you have noticed in our reading last week, maybe you have not, but when we read about Moses, when he was had just killed this Egyptian, what do we read about him? It says there in Exodus that he feared at that time the king. So that's why we believe that this is speaking about another time than when he forsook Egypt, when he was fleeing for his life, when Pharaoh heard about what he had done. No, this is speaking about that time when he was the leader of God's people, and God called him to bring his people with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm out of Egypt into the wilderness and all the way to the promised land. That is what this is talking about. And this, in fact, therefore, is 40 years later than where we have been studying last week. But when we start our reading, we see that it comes back to that very same theme that started of courage. It reoccurs at the beginning of this verse. What happened between that time when Moses made that choice to be part of God's people and fled to Midian, and the time when he returned to take up his task as a leader of Egypt? What happened? Children, do you know what happened? There he was. He thought that God had made him a leader and that was it time for him to step up. And he was sent into the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years. Shepherd of sheep. We sang about David as shepherd of sheep, but it can be said about Moses too. A similar way that the Lord has gone with Moses. He was first a shepherd of sheep, and there he was prepared by the Lord for what he was to meet. And then, children, do you remember what happened when God came in his glory and showed him that burning bush? Was Moses ready? Was Moses willing to lead God's people? Was he jumping for joy that God had chosen him? No. What did he do? I can't do it. I can't do it. He made excuses. And yet, What do we see after God takes away his excuses and says, I will be with your mouth, I will be with you. He gives his glorious name. After that, when he then stands before Pharaoh, at that moment, the text that we have before us comes true. He stands there, not fearing the wrath of the king. What does he say? Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son. Let my people go, that they may serve me. He says to Pharaoh. And when Pharaoh, over and over, children, what does he do? Does he say, yes, oh yeah, I will listen to the voice of God? No, that's not what we all by nature do. And especially God's enemies like Pharaoh will never. What does he do? He hardens his heart over and over again. And that's why our text speaks not only about that he doesn't fear the wrath of the king, but that he had to endure. That is to persevere, even when he was there over against a wicked ruler who hardens his heart, who was not willing to listen to the voice of God. And finally, do you remember, children, that last plague? Pharaoh says, there is the door, as it were. You, Moses, out of here. I don't want to see you anymore. At that moment, Moses still persevered and still continued. And he said, yes, indeed, I won't see your face anymore. How is that all possible to be like that? There's one answer, and our text gives that answer. It is by faith. Where did he learn that? We say, well, yes, we can say, okay, yes, his parents just verses before, they didn't fear the commandment of God either. And we remember from last week that he was brought up with his parents in such a miraculous way. But that's not the answer. Yes, he learned it from his parents, perhaps. But most of all, he learned it by faith. By faith in what? In the promises of God. The promises that God will take care of his people, that God will lead out his people, and still that is the same today. This was daring faith, we can say. Daring faith. How can you be, Moses, we would ask him if he would still be alive, how can you be so calm in the face of an angry Pharaoh? Moses, how can you persevere knowing that the most powerful ruler is right in front of you and is against you? Moses, how can you be so bold as to enter the Pharaoh's palace and again announcing this is God, God is going to do, plague after plague, and claiming God's people. God's people must serve him. How can you do that? Well, that's also what our text says. Because this is not just daring faith. God can make our faith like that. But this is, as our text also shows, dependent faith. By faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the king, for he endured. And there it is. As seeing him who is invisible. I hear an echo, children. Do you remember? Verse 1. All the way back when we started this journey, as it were, through Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It's like the telescope. Things that we can see are brought close into our hearts by faith. And it says here about Moses exactly that, as seeing him who is invisible. So children, when he stared in the face of that angry king, undaunted, Pharaoh, There was something in Moses that saw something different. It was the invisible face of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God who has promised, the God who is for his people, the God whose power is unequaled by any creature on earth. And that is where Moses' faith rested. And what he saw, that's what gave him trust. That's what gave him calm. That's what gave him courage, perseverance. He had met this God. Have you met this God? He had met this God at the burning bush. The great I am. I will be with my people. I will protect them. I will fight this battle for them. Have you met him as such? He had seen something about the glory of this God burning like a fire, and yet the bush did not consume. He had seen him that was invisible and yet showed something, just a little fragment of himself to him again and again. So after 40 years and having seen this, what happened in Moses? What did that do in Moses? 40 years in the wilderness to keep sheep. He was delivered by the Lord more and more of himself. The Lord had there made him an instrument for deliverance, an instrument so that he would get all the glory and Moses would be simply on the background. Though Moses there in the heat and the drought and the difficulty and the trials of wilderness life had learned dependence. Have we learned dependence in all the difficulties and trials of life? So that it is not any longer about our willpower. I can do this. Not any longer, I think, my ideas. But it is about what brings glory to the Lord. And that's what we all need, don't we? It's not about us. We need to die to ourselves. It's about God and his glory. Moses was called by the Lord. He was equipped by the Lord. And he, even after some unwillingness, gave himself to the Lord. And therefore he could stand there even with daring faith and dependent faith, seeing him who is invisible. What does drive us? Whatever we do, what do we see? Do we see the things down below, or do we see God ruling, reigning on behalf of his people? Do we think, well, I can do it. I can deliver. Isn't that sometimes how we pray? Well, Lord, maybe we don't say it. But I can do it. What happened when he thought he could do it? He killed an Egyptian. Not very helpful for the kingdom of God. That's often what happens when we think or pray in a way that we say, oh, I can do it. We can deliver people. No, we can't. God must do it, and God has promised to do it. It's a painful lesson that you and I need to learn over and over again. A very important lesson. God can do it. That's what faith says. That's the reality of dependence. Seeing him who is invisible. Have you learned, have I learned that kind of dependence? So whatever we face, maybe we might not face the face of an angry king in front of us, but whatever we face, we can be calm. We can be trusting. We can be daring because we see the face of Almighty God who is on our side, who can lead his people out of bondage. Moses here, beloved, he reminds us of the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't he? Think about Christ. Christ stood before who? He stood before Pilate. Not just Pilate. He stood before the whole world, as it were, in anger. Did he do it in his own strength? No, he was faithful in whatever he did. How? Often he had to withdraw and depend on his Father. Being alone, communing with his Father, so that he could say, I do always the will of my Father perfectly. And he was unimpressed when he stood there before Pilate, not just before Pilate, when he had to speak against the Pharisees. He was unimpressed at those moments in his ministry when what he said upset people. He stood there face to face with angry rulers, Annas, Caiaphas, Herod, Pilate. And in that all, Christ was staring in the face? Satan raging against him. Raging against the Son of God who came to deliver. But what did he do? The greater Moses, what did he do? He endured to the end. He persevered. He was fearless in the face of opposition. And he was perfectly focused always on the glory of God. And that is why he can deliver wretched sinners this morning who have not perfectly trusted God. No, who are fearful often, who are often captured by the bondage of our sins, who often think, I can do it. No, he comes and he delivers in this way. It's the Savior's faith and it's the Savior's faithfulness that delivers sinners like you and me who have failed miserably, wretchedly, ever since the fall. All the human race of Adam, you and I, fearful, not trusting, not seeing the invisible God who is glorious, forgetting the Lord, days without number. And therefore we are unkind and unloving. Just like Moses, I can do it, and he kills. That's what we are by nature. But Christ, he stood there to deliver such wretches as we are. He paid the price to deliver us from destruction. Destruction. He paid the price to rescue us as he rescued you. Are you trusting in him? He paid that price through a powerful sacrifice. Second thought here. Verse 28, through faith, he kept, that is still Moses, kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them, all the people. The Lord came to Moses over and over. And Moses saw him that is invisible. He heard his promises and he heard his instructions. What was it all about? That last plague came, the darkness of night, and God says, I give you a sign, I give you a picture. This is therefore depicted, a picture, deliverance, first of all. I give you a sign. Children, what was the sign all about? The Passover, what was the sign all about? It was about the sprinkling of the blood, it says here. And they did that, how? By faith again. So what does that mean? There was the word of God. This is what I want you to do in order to be saved and delivered. If you sprinkle the blood, take a lamb, first of all, and kill it, and make sure it's perfect, and then roast it over the fire, and then eat it, partake of that lamb. Trust that I, through the blood of that lamb, will pass by you. And that dark night, God was teaching the people of Israel, those who were planning to go out of Egypt after they've heard the promises, to live by faith. Moses lived by faith, instructing the people. All the people who came with a little ball of blood to the doorpost, they did so based on the word of God, the promise of God, by faith. What did it teach them? What does it teach us? Without the blood, the shedding of blood, the killing of an animal, no remission of sins. That's an important topic in the book of Hebrews. It's talked about in chapter 9 over and over. So if there is no lamb in the house and no blood on the doorpost, what would it mean? Children. Death of the firstborn. But if there is blood, what would it mean? It would mean that God would pass over his people and would not come and punish them with the Egyptians and the unbelieving world. That's the picture. And that's true about true and living faith as well. What does faith see? They kept the Passover. When we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we keep the Lord's Supper. And there we see the same thing. A sign. God gives us a sign and a seal of what? Of Christ, who is the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. His blood is needed to be put upon our hearts, upon our souls, upon our consciences. Then God can pass us by and will not punish us for our iniquities, because he bore the iniquities of his people. Slaughtered a lamb on behalf of the family of God in order to deliver them. That's the picture. That's what we, by faith, partake of the Lord's Supper. That's what we see with the eyes of faith. Is that what has happened to you? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you come to their fountain against sin and uncleanness? That spotless Lamb, Jesus Christ. And are you resting there? Yes, I look inside and Lord, what can I say? Sin and iniquity. The Lord must condemn me. If thou wouldst mark iniquity, who can stand? But there is forgiveness with thee. there is a lamb. There's a way that God can pass over the sins of his people. What if that is not the case? If you're here this morning and you can't claim that and you don't have that faith, what is the reality that also was pictured at that day? Because verse 28 speaks about that. It says this, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Now touch, that sounds like just a little touch. But that little touch had devastating consequences. The destroyer would come. This is not just deliverance by blood pictured, but this is deliverance from destruction. If there is no blood on your heart and conscience this morning, God must come with the destroyer. And that means death, if that does not change. Eternal death. In that pitch dark night, the angel of God's destruction came and killed. And so it is, as it were, this morning, God comes with the angel of destruction and he shows him to us for a moment. If there is no blood, this is what will happen to you. It will be a pitch dark night and it will mean death forever and ever. Oh, repent, call out. Trust, God gives directions. Trust in the blood. Trust in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And in that way, he leads you out of your bondage. Oh, is that a reality for you? Do you realize that if you're outside of Christ this morning, that it will mean eternal death? How blessed are we who hear the sound of the gospel and say, there is a lamb. God provided himself a lamb as a sacrifice. How blessed are we when we see him that was invisible for us now, but was visible, made visible, came to this earth, walked this earth, and took upon himself that heavy load of sin. He bore the sin of his people. He bore the wrath of God. He took that heavy cross. That blood that came from his pierced hands and his pierced side to bring deliverance. Deliverance for captives. Are you captive? Do you still feel maybe sometimes captive? Well, you know, while you know that in the past God has done marvelous and great things for you, he is able to deliver you. Look to the cross. There's a lamb. And if you say, I'm in the darkness, oh Lord, deliver me, I say to you, there is deliverance. Look to the cross. There's blood. It's by faith that they were keeping the Passover by faith, trusting in the Passover lamb. That's where God begins. When we see Jesus Christ and his preciousness as the only Savior, that's where he begins to deliver. They were out of Egypt after that night. Can you say that this morning as well? I'm out of Egypt. He brought me out through the blood, through the firstborn, out of my darkness, placed me into his marvelous light. And that blood of Jesus Christ has become precious to me. Because he has begun to deliver me, and he will yet deliver me even more. So that whenever I come to situations that I say, I don't know what to do, I trust the blood. I trust the power. I trust his grace. I trust his arm on behalf of his, delivered by faith. Partaking of the Passover by faith. Living by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. And then there's a Red Sea. Verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians say, that means tried to do, were drowned. There's a lesson here. We can do nothing apart from true and saving faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, apart from God leading us step by step. And that's why our third point is called a powerful guide. We need a guide to go with us step by step. What a hopeless situation it was. Think about it. That angry Pharaoh that finally showed Moses the door and let the people go, had second thoughts. And there he came with all his army and his mighty host. And there he was, pursuing with wrath that was even worse than before, probably. And there they were, water in front of them, mountains on their side, and behind them the enemies. This doesn't look like deliverance, does it? Where's the Lord? Impossible. It's impossible. It's just not possible. We need faith, yes. Faith in the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ. Initial faith, but we need ongoing faith for every step of the way. And this faith then is again and again tested by the impossibilities that God puts upon our pathway. Just like Abram. Some weeks or months ago or so, we considered that, didn't we? Impossible. Barren. Dead. Here we see it again. Impossible. Did they choose their own way? No, they didn't. The Lord had led them to this very spot. And that's a lesson that we can learn over and over in our lives. Must learn over and over. The Lord leads his people. When we are saved behind the blood, have been saved by the Lamb. His cloudy pillar and his fiery pillar by night leads us on. We're en route to Canaan. They are there by divine appointment. And that's how we should see everything in our lives. We are here by divine appointment, even when there's impossibilities. But what do we see there just before that Red Sea with those mountains surrounding and those enemies? What do we see? There's temptations that come upon the path of people of God there. God must be against us. Do you know that? This is not going the way I want it, so God must be against me. They start thinking back, another temptation. It was so good in Egypt. It was far easier. This is difficult. They come to Moses and start to complain. The temptation is God's way the right way? Do you know these things? temptations. Moses left Egypt seeing him who is invisible, and that's what we need to learn. Where are you at this moment in your life? Have we learned that lesson, or is it more like the people complaining and questioning and temptations? And they were there by divine direction. God led them there. And in those moments, we need to come to that place where Moses came immediately. He falls on his knees and he starts praying. Let us hear the voice of the Lord. He starts praying, and the Lord comes and gives instruction again. And we need to hear the Lord's directions, not our own. It's a lesson that he learned, not me, but him. That we need to learn, not me, but him. What did God say to Moses? What did he say? Do you remember? Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you see them again no more forever. What a lesson. What impossibility do you have? Listen to the word of God. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. And he said something else, something very precious. To his people, he says, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Be quiet. Have we learned a lesson? Feels a little like hopeless. What can I do? Feels like powerless. I want to do something. No. Stand still and see. Moses saw him who is invisible, and now he is asking the people the same thing. Stand still and see. God is going to show not only his grace in deliverance, but also his power. Calm down. Consider for a moment. Who is on your side? What has he promised? In moments like that, that's important. That we focus on those things. Calm down. Who is on your side? Don't fear. What has he promised? I will deliver. I will show you not just my grace, but I can show my power. My grace was on display when you had to slaughter the lamb. But now I will show my power. Deliverance. I will conquer your Egyptians. What are your Egyptians this morning? What enemies are you facing? What is destroying your soul? At least you're afraid. One of these days, this will conquer me and I will be forever lost. What soul-damning sins are you struggling with? Or are you fighting? What temptations are you vulnerable for? What says the Lord in those moments? Stand still and look away. Is your temptation murmuring unbelief or panicking or gossiping or immorality or immoral thoughts or anger or frustration? Whatever it is, you know those. If those continue to conquer your life, you know that is soul damning. Impossible to overcome in your own strength. And the Lord says, stand still. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. It's common to other people too, those temptations. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. But he will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. That even when the sea is not yet parted, even when the mountains are still around you, you can't escape there, even when the enemies are breathing in your neck, as it were, that you're able to bear it, to calm down, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He will give a way of escape at his time. Trust him. See what he can do. He's able to nail sin to the cross. He's able to raise from the dead. Can he not destroy your sin? Can he not help you to overcome in his power? When you feel weak and impossible, it's impossible to you. When you're staring death in the face. So here are the directions that God gives us this morning. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But that's not just words. God bears his holy arm and shows what he can do. Actually, when you come to impossibilities, beloved, we should learn to see. And it's maybe easier said than done. But we should learn to see that those are the moments that God wants to show his glory and power. These are not impossibilities for God. These are opportunities. Opportunities. So that we can be strengthened in our faith. Our text says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. We need to learn that, don't we? That simple sentence, we can say it quick. Nothing is impossible with the Lord. We can sometimes say it quick to one another. But if you have wrestled through it, come to an end, and you know more. You know how hard it is to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But God made a path, children. God did. That night, there was a wind. There was a wind. Doesn't that remind us of the power of God's Holy Spirit? The word for spirit is wind. God came and blew, trailblazed a path through that Red Sea. Heaps of water on both sides. Those high walls of water. God's almighty hand. And then he says, go. This is the path I made for you. Walk in it. This is the path to the promised land. Think about it. Have you seen ever something that of that in your life? That you say it's impossible. But God comes and shows. Here's the path. Walk in it. Then it's easy. But it often comes after long struggle, doesn't it? And only believers can go through, ultimately. The people of God can go through. Because our text tells us about the Egyptians. What did they do? They tried it too, children. Walls of water. They thought, well, what they can do, I can do too. But then the Lord starts to fight. against these Egyptians. And they get into a panic and they say, let's flee. Too late. Too late. There will be a day when God's enemies will be overcome, when they have thought, well, we can do as God does, or we can make use of all God's means and all God's path, and they think they can hate God's people, but no. One day they will sink as a stone. They were all drowned. The destruction of God's enemies is awaiting. If you don't trust in Jesus Christ, that's your lot. Maybe not as outright as the Egyptians. Perhaps you just simply presume on it. You're unrepentant and you know it. It's fearful to fall in the hands of the living God. You presume that God will give you grace or that it will be okay at the end. Don't presume. You need to trust in the blood of Jesus Christ. You need to trust in the power of God for salvation. Otherwise, you are storing up for yourself wrath for the day of wrath. Oh, come and see what the Lord does. He makes wars to cease in all the earth. He's able to overcome your resistance against the gospel if you are here still as an unbeliever. He is able. Come, see what the Lord can do. Repent. There is a way of escape. There's a path. Jesus Christ is that path, away from destruction. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No one comes to the Father by me. No one gets to the promised land but by me. No one gets final deliverance but by me. Jesus Christ is the path. He paves that way. Even when you think it's impossible. Jesus is the way this morning for those who are still outside of Christ. Jesus is the way for those who have learned to trust Him. Who've heard His voice this morning. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We see an example of that in the life of Paul in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8 through 10. What is happening there? God paves a way for Paul. Listen how it goes. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. So what is Paul saying? Impossible. I'm pressed out of measure. It's above my strength. I despaired of life. The sentence of death was in me. But how does he look at it? By faith. There is a path. By faith, he looks at it. He says, well, this is designed by God so that I don't trust in myself, but in Him. That I see Him who is invisible. Him who raises from the dead. And then he takes courage. And what does he say by faith? He continues in verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death. He looks back and says, well, God has delivered me in the past from death and doth deliver. Right now he delivers. And in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. That's faith. God has done it in the past. He will do it right now, and he will do it in the future. Do you see that? There's a way. There's a way. God is, after all, the one who raises people from the dead. Past, present, future. He does it. That's faith. Faith in the power of the resurrection. Philippians comes to mind. Paul. Oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. I die, but he lives in me through impossibilities, through trials. His power is put on display. Oh, let that encourage you, believer, this morning. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He guides all the way to the promised land. He does never forsake the work of his own hands. By faith there was deliverance. And I think you remember what happened when they saw that water close. That day, when they saw the Egyptians drowned, that day, what did they do, children? Do you remember? That's why we read Psalm 66. They started to praise the Lord and sing of his mighty deeds and of his power and of his glory. They sang, they praised him. And that's what God does for his people when he gives grace and glory and power unto his people and shows his great deliverance. It is that we would praise him, that we would adore him, that we would sing his praises, not just now. Yes, absolutely. Let us praise him. Let us sing unto him. But one day forever, what will we sing before the throne? It's the song of Moses and the Lamb. What is that song all about? And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all the nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." What a song! Great and marvelous, King of saints, almighty, glorious, and victorious, deliverer. Past, present, future. Are you tuning in today with that song? Are you just as those people that stood ready when they heard they had to be ready for Passover to leave any moment? Are you ready for full deliverance? Watch and pray, wait, anticipate, trust in Christ, turn from sin, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. He gives full deliverance, and those who trust in him will never be ashamed. Amen. Let's pray.